This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Hundreds of thousands of kids pass through the juvenile justice system in this country every year. Tens of thousands of them wind up going away to what are referred to in the language of juvenile justice as secure detention facilities. We're going to spend some time with those kids today and tomorrow on the topic of education, because there is often not a whole lot of it. There are too few teachers, not enough resources, and a mindset oftentimes of punishment first, rehabilitation later. Which means when kids in juvie finally do get out, they're often further behind academically than they were when they went in, and so they wind up right back in the system. Late last year, the Department of Education and the Department of Justice issued some new rules urging states to make education the first priority for juveniles, specifically by using classroom technology that's common in public schools. Marketplace's Adrian Hill from Learning Curve, which is our project on education and technology, went to one of the first justice facilities in the country that has embraced the digital classroom. It's the Wyoming Girls School in Sheridan, Wyoming.
The first thing you notice as you drive up to the Wyoming Girls School is how little it looks like a secure juvenile detention facility. There are no gates, no barbed wire. White-tailed deer roam the grounds. The only fences here are meant to keep the horses from escaping. The 39 girls who've been sentenced to live here have committed mostly nonviolent crimes. They are 14 to 18. They're high schoolers. They take high school classes.
I'm looking for New York, New York. While we're looking for this, we have to get the longitude and latitude.
In geography, the girls are using Google Earth. In horticulture, they're going to rig up iPads to monitor temperature and humidity in the greenhouse. The classes here are a lot like classes you might find in a good public school. Attentive teachers, focused lessons, modern technology.
If that condition is true.
That makes sense?
No.
Okay, so what it's going to say is you're going to say if Carol is facing east, do this.
That's teacher Jordan O'Donnell. He walks a class of three young women through a coding lesson.
I guess trying to kind of empower these students here to think beyond the, you know, what got them here, to get them involved in coding and, you know, STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. And it's the response from them has been kind of what kept me going, too.
Many of these young women failed in their public schools. They skipped, they dropped out. But here, says 14-year-old Shawnee, that's not an option.
It's a lot easier to stay caught up and keeping your grades up because you can't really skip school. You kind of have to come.
Shawnee has been at the Wyoming Girls School for about 4.5 months. And in that time, she's fallen in love, as only a 14-year-old can, with coding. It gives her a sense of control.
When people meditate, they do that to come at peace with themselves and overcome stress and stuff like that. And that's kind of what coding is for me. It's my meditation.
She's already taken the computer science class, so she's doing an online coding class in her free time.
If I hadn't been here and I hadn't discovered coding, then I would be running around like a chicken with their head cut off, trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my future.
The Wyoming Girls School has a $6 million budget from the state. It doesn't include a line item for new teaching tech. So to create these digital classrooms, the teachers and administrators had to get creative. They snagged some hand-me-down Wi-Fi equipment from the local school. They use free tech like Google for Education and Edmodo. Jordan, the computer teacher, and really one of the main forces behind the push for more tech here, raises money using a site called Donors Choose, basically Kickstarter for teachers. Kat Crawford is with the nonprofit Center for Educational Excellence in Alternative Settings. It helps secure facilities like the Wyoming Girls School bring tech into the classrooms.
I can't imagine a student, especially in a high school setting, coming out or in a college setting, not having touched a piece of technology for a year and a half, finding success in school at all without having those skills taught to them.
But Crawford says the girls' school, it's still an outlier. Most juvenile justice facilities around the country where kids are locked up are way, way behind.
One of the biggest hurdles is just getting the internet turned on.
There's a fear that it's dangerous to let kids online, even with monitoring software. So in many facilities, says Kat, kids are handed a stack of worksheets, some secondhand textbooks, and may get little or no instruction. which might help explain why so many kids in the juvenile justice system leave in worse shape academically than when they came in, and why so many kids don't go back to high school or do go back and drop out. It's something the federal government has made clear has to change and can.
They have an ability to amass a huge number of credits while they're inside a correctional facility, and they can do so much while they're there.
At the Wyoming Girls School, every student eligible to graduate from high school in 2013 did graduate. On average, they made a year's worth of progress in math during their 9-month stays, and nearly 3 years of progress in reading. It can all sound pretty good, but 17-year-old Jessie reminds me no teenager wants to live like this.
I don't think anyone's really happy to be here.
For the last 6 months, she's lived every minute of every day by strict rules and with constant supervision as she works through the program.
It's very stressful. It's you kind of feel like a science experiment. You're getting like pretty much poked and prodded, like, hey, you're doing this. Hey, you're doing this. You need to, you know. So it's really overwhelming because you have so many people telling you what you need to change.
But when I ask her how school here compares with school on the outside?
I can't really say because I never really went. No one noticed when I was gone. I would like ask to go to the bathroom and come back a half an hour later high, and no one noticed the difference.
Here she says her teachers do know what's going on and they care.
It's really comforting because you're like, oh, other people notice me and I'm actually getting attention that I've been deprived of for so many years.
That kind of personal connection, says Wyoming Girls School Superintendent Chris Jones, can encourage girls to develop the confidence and skills they need to succeed on the outside. I asked Jones what she says to people who question if we ought to be spending this much money and these resources on girls who've gotten into trouble.
And my answer is absolutely. A, they're kids, and it's the right thing to do. I guess I keep coming back to that.
And B, she says?
To affect change on the front end rather than waiting until the far end. Yeah, it is a little costly, I think, financially and resource-wise. But it long-term, if it keeps kids out of prison, if it keeps kids out of the system or reoffending and all of the ripple effects financially, it's actually pretty cheap.
Long-term, giving incarcerated kids a quality education on the inside improves the chances that they'll succeed on the outside. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
We put together a slideshow of some of that technology at work inside the Wyoming Girls School. You can also hear more from students and administrators there at marketplace.org. And then coming up tomorrow, Adrienne has a story on the challenges of bringing the digital classroom to a big urban lockdown facility down in San Diego, California.